bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that our worship to Him can continue. See, God's blessings are coming down outside, and we can experience His blessings in our lives also here. This morning, I want to think a little bit about one of our senses. As you're here this morning, your five senses are what you use to experience the service this morning. If you wouldn't have your five senses, I suppose you wouldn't know you're here. If you wouldn't be able to see, to hear, to feel, life would, that's how we get our input and our perception of life. And that's how we experience the service this morning. God's given us those senses so that we can experience life and so that we can take various inputs into our experience and make them a part of us, make our experience interesting, make it colorful and interesting. But some of the senses are more personal than others. Some of them they are different. The rich man, the Bible says, saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. That was quite a ways away. Sight can cover quite a distance. We can hear from far away too. But feeling and taste are different. This morning I'd like to think about the sense of taste and the illustrations that God uses. Well, the title would be, O Taste and See That the Lord is Good. God, the Bible uses the sense of sight. When we see God, we experience Him, and that helps us to understand more about Him. When we see Him, we feel His presence. But one of the ways we understand more about Him is to taste Him and to draw parallels between our sense of taste and how we experience God. And so that's what we want to focus on this morning and try to learn a number of lessons, number of parallels between our sense of taste and how we experience God. You can turn to Psalm 34. We want to look there. Some things you taste have a bland taste and don't make much of an impression. Some things, some spices, make things very pleasant to the taste. We really enjoy eating them. We really enjoy tasting them. A jalapeno pepper gives you a different taste, can drive you to need milk or whatever to help dissolve that. Some things we taste, you can taste for hours afterward. Not normally pleasant. But when we taste God, when we taste the Lord, it's something that brings blessing and pleasantness into our life. There's many other things that we can experience, that we can taste, that don't do that. But notice the ways this chapter, this psalm, draws those kind of parallels. Tasting is to experience. Sight and smell happen without actually coming in contact, and they arouse our interest. You can see or smell an apple pie and it arouses your interest, but you haven't really partaken of it. There's a number of parallels we can draw there. We can see about God, we can understand about Him, but if we haven't really partaken of Him, if we haven't tasted Him, we haven't really experienced it, we really don't get the benefits of it. Other senses awaken our interest, but tasting happens when you actually take a part of it, take it. It's a sense of discovery and joy. Genesis 3, verse 6. You know, they looked at that forbidden fruit and they admired it, but when they actually tasted it was what was forbidden and was what brought results, was what brought God's condemnation on their lives. Tasting forbidden fruit was what brought results. As Christians, we read about, hear about Him, God, and we study Him, study about Him. But the question is, how much have we tasted Him? Or how much have we really experienced Him? How much have we really made Him a part of our life? How much have we taken him into ourselves? Let's read this psalm at this time. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrances of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The psalm talks about a number of different subjects, but we're going to use the psalm to help explain those verses there, especially verse 8. Verse 3 stands out to me, or one note I have written in my Bible about that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnify is to make big, to magnify him, to make him big in our sight. When we magnify normal things around us, man-made things around us, we see imperfections and we see problems. But when we magnify God, we see perfection. We see a plan. We see holiness. We see righteousness. Bigger we make God in our sight, the more impressed we are with his righteousness, the more of his righteousness we see. Sometimes we taste things in a small sense. We taste things real gingerly, very carefully. But the more we experience of God, the more perfection, the more we're not going to be disappointed, the more we see of him, the more we magnify him. We need to draw near to him to taste him. We can't taste at a distance. We can see and we can hear and we can smell at a distance, to some extent. But to taste the graciousness of Christ supposes our being united to him, being with him by faith. He's not here, and yet there's ways that we can taste him. We can experience what he has for us. It's one of the ways that we can connect with him, even though he's not here physically in our presence. Hebrews 10:22. I'm going to read, and we'll look at a number of verses this morning. You don't need to turn to this one, but Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We talked about that in this morning earlier in the Sunday school period, about drawing near to Christ. It's not he that needs to draw near to us, but we need to draw near to him. And to taste him, to experience him, we need to do that. We need to draw close to him. The word taste seems to indicate, or often is used to indicate, just a small sampling of, to not experience the full thing. We taste something. The question is, can we ever fully understand or experience all of Christ? Or are we just tasting and finding out what he's like in various different aspects? And we know that he is so big, and there's so much to him, that in a sense, all we can do as we go through life is to taste various aspects of him, to experience his work in our life in various different ways, and we're constantly learning. We never fully experience what he has for us. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He satisfies. He satisfies. He is the bread of life. And if we experience him, we're not going to be left. We're not going to be left bored. We're not going to be left. It's not going to wear out. It's not going to satisfaction and the excitement is not going to wear out. Satisfaction is always going to be there. Partly because there's so much of him to discover, and tasting him meets our needs. It's not like many of the other pleasures and joys of this life, the other things that we experience that soon wear out and don't truly satisfy our needs, don't truly satisfy our inner being. All right. I want to think a little bit about how do we taste the Lord, some of the things that it takes to taste him or to experience him. First one would be faith. It takes faith to taste something. And in a sense, it takes faith to put something in our mouth. It takes faith to put something in our spoon and put it in our mouth. We believe that it's going to be okay. Normally, faith is believing something that we cannot see. It takes faith to, God will strengthen our faith. You think a little bit about Abraham when he said, Genesis 22, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham was there, his faith was being tested, but he was about to experience what God could do. His faith was tested. God had asked him to do something that he didn't have an explanation or a way to fulfill without. He didn't understand how it was going to work and how it was going to fulfill God's plan. But as he stepped forth in faith, he experienced God's work in his life. And he tasted what God could do. He experienced God in his life. David and Goliath. When 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, the Lord shall deliver him into my hand. He had faith. He didn't have confidence in himself, but he had faith in what God had done and could do again. And because of that, he was willing to step forward and to experience God's deliverance and a miracle. And it's like that for us. When we're up against something that is bigger than we can handle, it takes faith for us to place it in his hands. It takes faith to put our tangible problems in the hands of an unseen God, one that we can't physically see anyway. And yet, that's what it takes to strengthen our faith and to really experience him, really experience what he can do. Closely associated with faith would be trust. And in a natural sense, we must have trust in someone that offers us food, offers us something to sample or to taste. It takes trust, but tasting of God is an exercise in trust. Let's turn to Psalm 37, back just a couple pages from where we're at, or a page or two. Psalm 37, and verses 3 through 5. Let's just read 1 through 5. And maybe another verse or two there. Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I think of tasting there, experiencing him, seeing what he has to offer. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." We'll just stop there. We shall be fed if we taste of God, if we trust him if we trust him enough to experience him and to allow him to speak into our life and to direct our life and to nourish us as we should be, we shall be fed. And it says, he shall bring it to pass. His work will be accomplished in us. We will experience his will. How do we taste something? We taste something when we have a need. We have a desire for something. When we're full, taste isn't nearly as delightful or as much of an experience. But when we're hungry, taste comes into play a lot more. And we have needs. And we need to realize our needs to really experience God. He's designed us to be like that. And he gives us needs. If we understand them, if we understand them as we should. Verse 10 of Psalm 34, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Lions, you wouldn't think they're the king of the beast. They can get what they want, but they have needs that God needs to supply. And as we allow God to speak into our life, we will have our needs met. We will have our needs supplied. We taste as part of our effort to satisfy our hunger. I think, too, of Matthew 5, verse 6, the Beatitudes. "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Let me just get the wording right. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need a hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God. And he has promised that he will fill us. He will meet our needs. Thinking about tasting or experiencing God. And then 1 Peter 2:2, I want to read also. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And it starts out there with newborn babes, but the idea of growing is something that applies to all of us as we go through life. And the word milk there applies to speaks of the basic truths of God's word, the basics, the doctrines, the basic principles of God's word. So we understand the basics of God's word, we can grow. As we hunger for him, understand the simple truths about him, it's what satisfies our hunger and helps us to grow. A lot of times we taste things to determine the quality of something, to determine if it's good or spoiled or whatever. Turn to Matthew 11. 28-30. Again, another familiar passage, and yet it speaks of us experiencing Christ, experiencing God. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Speaking about trying him out, sampling him, taking him in, and experiencing what kind of master he is, what kind of experience it will be. And he says it will be a blessing. We'll find his yoke easy and his burden is light. It'll be a blessing to our lives. We'll experience truth and joy like we haven't experienced before. How do we taste the Lord? There's a sense in which you could think of communion as we partake of the emblems of his body as it was broken, as he gave himself for us. And those could be another aspect of this as we experience and remember his suffering and death, like we did 2 weeks ago. It's another way that we experience him. We think of him, we partake of some of the suffering that he went through. In Psalm 34, turn back there. I want to pick out just a couple verses and several ways we taste God. Verse 4, we turn over our fears to him. He delivered me from all my fears. One way that we taste him is to get rid of our fears, to lay them on his shoulders, turn them over to him, turn them over to him in prayer. Give them to him and let him take care of them. We will experience deliverance from our fears. Verse 17, the psalmist cried due to his troubles, but the Lord saved him. Righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He experienced God's deliverance out of his troubles. He was in the midst of dilemmas of life. He was in the midst of life as it happens. And it was distressing. It was something that tried him out. It was more than he could handle. And yet as he turned that over to God, as he allowed God to work in his life, he found deliverance. Verses 6 and 7, those that fear him, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. There's deliverance. As we fear God, he sends his angel to camp around us and to deliver us, to protect us and keep us. Angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. If we taste God, we experience him. We experience his deliverance. Verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Again, he took care of their hunger, but he takes care of lack of any good thing. They shall not want any good thing. God provides our needs. God provides the good things that we need. This day in society, we think our needs have grown beyond what God considers our needs. But if we trust him, God will provide what we really do need. Verse 11, as we feed on the word of God, the way we taste him, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We come and we listen to God. We listen to his word. We listen to his spirit speak to us. We feed on the word of God. As we allow Him to speak to us, He will teach us. We will learn many things. It's part of experiencing Him. Now, the Lord is good. We will experience His goodness. What makes God sweet to our taste? Psalm 119:103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Many times people say pleasant things to us. They say things that we like to hear. But God's word is truth, and as truth is sweet, it brings life and joy to our hearts. Brings joy, sweetness to our soul, like many other things, like other things don't. Song of Solomon 2:3, "As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." We have relationships with others, and we enjoy our relationships with others. We can have communication, we can have a relationship with others, but the relationship we have with God is the choicest, is the best. It's the sweetest in taste to us. The Lord is good. God's blessing is on those that trust Him. Blessing is God's favor. Blessing is a result of us tasting Him. God treats those who taste and experience of Him with favor. And a number of these things we looked at before, we touched on before. But so His blessing, as we experience Him, as we taste of Him, as we make Him a part of our life, we're going to have His blessing on our life. We're going to have Him provide our needs, as we saw there talking about the lions and young lions and those. He's going to provide for our needs. We're going to have peace. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 4, 7 and 8. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine is increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." You know, some relationships bring stress. Some relationships bring turmoil to our lives. But our relationship with God brings peace, brings rest. And as we taste Him, as we experience Him, you know, there's all kinds of tonics you can take or whatever, but this one brings peace and rest to your heart. It will help you to relax. Proverbs 4:16, "For they sleep not, except ye have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall." Speaking about those that don't bring rest to our lives, they do mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause stress, unless they cause someone else to fall. That's the opposite of what God does to us. The last result of what God does, our relationship and our experience with Him does, of course, is the last two verses of Psalm 34, verses 21 and 22. "The evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." The end result of tasting and experiencing God is eternal life. There's a lot of things you can take. Some things, you take poison that will destroy you. If you taste God, you'll have eternal life. If you can sample Him, if you can make Him a part of you, that will give you eternal life. And look for something that can do that. Men look for natural things that can extend life. But if you can taste God, if you can experience Him, you'll have eternal life. In conclusion, Hebrews 6, 4 and 5, "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted or experienced of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." Let me get the context of that a little more. Hebrews 6, 4 and 5, and a little bit more. So it's saying that we taste the heavenly gift and we become partakers of the Holy Ghost and we taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And if you fall away from that to renew them, you're condemned. It's impossible. I'm not seeing. It's impossible if they shall fall away from that to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. So our experience with God is an experience. It's something that we taste, we take into our life. And it's saying if you've experienced that, if you've made that a part of you, and you've realized what God can do for you and what he can, the blessings that he can bring into your life, don't turn away from that. Don't push that aside. Don't spit it out of your mouth. Tasting the forbidden fruit was enough to bring separation between Adam and Eve and God. But tasting of the Lord is what we need to do to experience eternal life, to restore that relationship and to have that relationship back. Make the Lord a part of your life today. Taste him. Experience him. Experience more of him. May God help us as we go from day to day and make him part of our daily intake. Let's pray.